Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from socially isolated but very pleasant spring in Vancouver. And we'll be chatting with a colleague who moved a couple years ago just down the coast to California. Stephanie Seebach-Sire is the author that you'll hear momentarily. She's an instructor at Stanford University in the Department of Emergency Medicine and has a paper with her co-authors coming out in the August 2020 issue of Medical Education entitled Elucidating System-Level Interdependence in Electronic Health Record Data. Stephanie, you two are isolated in your apartment, I understand, so I appreciate you taking the time and finding a quiet space to do this.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm excited to talk about the paper, actually, and it seems to combine a couple of very timely and modern views on medical education, and that you're thinking about how electronic health records can be used for education purposes at the same time as thinking about how assessments might need to broaden to take into account that so much of our practice is not driven by individuals. So maybe I can start by just asking you to tell our listeners, what was it that led you to put those two ideas together?
Sure. So initially when I started out this work, it stemmed out of the fact that I was working a lot with raters and I was trying to understand why some of the information that they were providing was not translating when we applied our measurement approaches and did some of our analysis. And so this idea that what are people doing in the clinical environment and what is a way that we could capture that, thinking of the electronic health record as an opportunity. When we initially started out with some of this stuff, seemed like a great idea and has since unfolded more questions than sometimes I think answers. But given that trainees and physicians are working in the clinical environment, we thought that it would be a good way to understand what they were doing based on how things were documented in the electronic health record.
And maybe I should also ask you to elaborate a little bit on what the electronic health record looks like in your system, knowing that it's highly variable across different institutions and countries.
Definitely. So, I mean, the two big players in terms of the electronic health record is Cerner and Epic, and they've worked with both of them. And then there are also many hospitals and institutions that have their own smaller systems or local systems. And believe it or not, there's actually places that don't have an electronic system set up yet. And so pretty much it's a way for physicians to document their patient encounters. And really the purpose of the electronic health record was to be able to share information and to use what the physicians had documented in the clinical environment for billing purposes, which I think is one of the challenges when you want to try and use that data for an alternative purpose.
And in this case, you're considering issues around assessing resident performance. To what extent does the resident directly enter data into the record as opposed to the physician, him or herself?
Well, and that's interesting too, because that was some of our early work. And what we had discovered is within medicine, and you had spoken about this before in terms of our desire to really highlight individualism in our assessments within medicine, whether it's right or wrong, it's harder to do that in the context of residents, because we can say, well, you're the attending physician, so regardless of whether you did or did not do something, you are the one that is responsible for everything that happens, you know, on your shift. Whereas for a resident and where they are in the hierarchy, they don't have that same autonomy, and that argument doesn't seem to hold up for them. And so that's one of the things that makes this work even more messy and even more problematic, and has really pushed myself and my team forward in our desire of, like, how do we capture what a resident is doing? And so in our earlier studies, we started out asking residents and faculty, what are things that residents do independently, and what are things that could be in the electronic health record that mostly represent resident performance or what the resident is doing, residents' clinical actions, residents' decisions, and that sort of thing. And that's really where this notion of interdependence had emerged from, right? We were seeing in every conversation that we had that residents really are inseparably tied to the faculty that they work with. And as we continued to pursue that line of inquiry, we saw that it's not just actually the faculty and the attendings that they're working with other members of the healthcare team. And as we've talked about in this paper, also with the systems, so non-human elements, that's what we refer to when we talk about systems, like materials within the environments and the organizations and institutions that they work in.
So with that as the background, my understanding is that you interviewed both faculty and residents to try to understand what they believed could be pulled out of electronic health records, both as independent and interdependent performance measures. How did that conversation take place, or what did you do to try to help people, first of all, generate ideas, but secondly, make sense of if you could tease those two things apart?
Right. So I think once we were able to name it and once we were able to describe what interdependence was, that was a term that really resonated with our faculty and our residents. And quite frankly, with people that I talked to, even outside of the study, they're like, oh, yes, that's the thing that we've been, you know, dancing around for some time. That's it. You know, if we could figure that out, that would be great. And so in the initial interviews that we had done to develop and figure out what interdependence was, it was really just asking them what they had done and then listening to the exceptions and the exclaimers and the yeah buts in the interviews that highlighted this. And then in this study, where we came in and said, you know, we're thinking about interdependence, here's our current understanding of it, people were more than willing to share their experiences and to essentially validate that idea. And then that's where we started to see more of this system stuff, where people were saying, well, it's not just actually my attending. It's not just actually the nurse that I'm working with. Sometimes it is the technology that I have to work with. Sometimes it's the protocols or medical directives. Sometimes it's the hospital environment and the culture of what you can and cannot do that also impacts how you're going to see my performance.
I want to ask you to elaborate on that interdependence a little bit, but before I do, did anything come out as suggesting it was a marker of independent practice for the residents, or was it really the case that the entirety of the residents' performance was labeled in the interdependent way that you just described?
No, that's actually a great question. So residents really wanted to be able to take ownership for some of the things that they're doing in the clinical environment. And I think part of that reason was is the things that they were willing to characterize as independent. And often the way that I'll explain this is, let's think of it along a spectrum where independence is on one end and interdependence is on the other. And you can be somewhere in between on that spectrum. So I'm going to refer to these sorts of things as being more independent than more interdependent. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that residents really thought was a good measure was the time in which they signed up for a patient and the time in which the first order was placed. And they said, what that is really capturing is my ability to sign up for a patient, go and see the patient, do a history, do a physical, come back and figure out what labs and whatnot I want to order. And so most residents were like, I am happy to take responsibility for that. Like that timing and that time that is spent with the patients is primarily me, right? And they talked about situations such as traumas and things like that that fall outside of the norm. But imagine you've got a low acuity patient. They said the time in which you sign up for a patient and the time in which you place your forced order is really about the resident. Whereas something like length of stay, which has got a lot of different people involved, a lot of different system aspects to it, that was something that was seen, for instance, as being more interdependent. And part of the reasons that residents didn't want to take full ownership over something like that is because they felt that they didn't have the control to be able to change some of those things. Mm-hmm. So the labeling of this from the residents' perspectives, at least the ones that I spoke to, was not about this is me or this isn't me or this is messy or whatnot. It's because they really wanted to use this information to improve their practice. And they felt with a metric like length of stay, they would need to know what aspect of that they were responsible for so that they could have control over changing that.
Right. So then you got into these different types of interdependence that may have led to some feelings of lesser control over some things or another. That taxonomy seems like a useful way of starting to think through where the residents might have more or less capacity to enact change. What was the categorization that you found most helpful?
So the categorization that we used in this paper were one around medical directives, around technology and sort of the technological systems that exist within different institutions and different hospitals, and then the organizational system as a whole. And the organizational system is really encompassing things like the culture and the climate and the environment and that sort of stuff. So I would hear from residents, you know, if I was working at X hospital, I would have ABC, which would allow me to be able to do my job faster than if I was working at Y hospital, where I don't have those things. And so both residents and physicians were very acutely aware of the system level interdependence in their work. And so that was a really interesting, I think, insight that we've gleaned, because it allowed us to then ask them, if you recognize that something's there, what do you do under those circumstances? And we got a lot of information about how physicians work outside the system when they feel that the system is constraining them or destabilizing their ability to do what they want to do.
Well, given those observations, have you come to any sort of conclusions in terms of how we might use that notion of interdependence and the data that are available in these records to move forward to support the trainees or the system itself?
Definitely. I mean, I think there's a couple things that we need to be aware of here. I think if we take this from like a clinical operations perspective, this is not a great thing when people are working outside of the system and when people are working in ways that make the data invisible in the electronic health record. It's actually just masking these clinical nuances and some of these system breakdowns. And that doesn't really allow us any opportunities to fix it. So we've got, you know, groups of people all around the country, all around the world that just look at this clinical data to look at flow and look at how well we're providing patient care. And if that information is being distorted or is not painting the complete picture, that's problematic in terms of being able to change the system, but also being able to educate residents about the systems in which they'll be working. And so I think that is one piece that we need to consider, is when the systems and when interdependence is actually hindering our ability to provide quality patient care or to provide good patient care, we need to take a step back and go, you know, let's evaluate the system here. The other thing that I feel very strongly that we need to do is be able to account for some of these aspects of interdependence within our measurement and our assessment of trainees. And I'm fairly confident that we will be able to account for interdependence in our measurement models and whatnot. I think the real challenge as we go forward is going to be determining which aspects of interdependence are most important to comprehensively measure what we're calling physician competence. I think there's a lot of things that go into interdependence, but I'm not convinced that all of the things that are interdependent are necessarily meaningful from an assessment standpoint.
Really important questions and raising a number of issues that we could spin off many different directions. So given that you've just alluded to some of those future directions and the exciting way in which this work is moving forward, I think that probably is a good place for us to wrap up, leaving people with a bit of anticipation and hope for the next wave of your work. I'll just remind people that the details of the paper we've been talking about can be found in the August 2020 issue of Medical Education. The title is Elucidating System-Level Interdependence in Electronic Health Record Data. And Stephanie Seebach-Sire is the first author who you've been listening to. Again, thanks very much, Stephanie, and good luck with your little ones and with pulling through this strange time in our world.
Sounds great. All right. Well, you take care of yourself, and thanks again for having me.